In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. There are things that we experience on Pascha and within Pascha that are very difficult not to forget. One of them we mentioned last week, and that was the joy that comes out of sorrow, the paschal joy that comes out of the longing for the presence of Christ, the sorrow of his absence, and the joy that comes out of being in the presence of Christ, seeing him, touching him, or even, we said, remembering him. That paschal joy, if we couldn't remember it and retouch Christ throughout the year, then we would have kept Pascha in our hearts in a way that keeps it always available for us. And another thing that is also equally difficult to remember and to keep in our hearts is highlighted today on the Sunday when we remember the myrrh bearers. And that has to do with the hiddenness and the mystery of the body of Christ. And it's true whether we're talking about the hiddenness and the mystery of the presence of Christ in the resurrected body, the way he came to the apostles, the way he came to St. Thomas so that he could be touched by Thomas, the way he came to Joseph of Arimathea when Joseph was in prison. Because we know that when Joseph of Arimathea took the body of Christ down from the cross after having been to Pilate and placed it in the tomb, afterward, after Christ had arisen, the authorities came to Joseph and they imprisoned him because he was, after all, the one who had taken the body of Christ down from the cross and placed him in the tomb. And while Joseph was in prison, the risen Christ came to Joseph. There is a mystery and a hiddenness about the body of Christ, about the resurrected body of Christ, and about our communion, our reception of the body and the blood of Christ. There is something already in the upper room when the apostles receive from Christ, and he tells them, "This is my body, this is my blood. Do this in remembrance of me." Afterward, after I have been crucified, destroyed death, arisen, and come to you, and ascended, do this in remembrance of me. Remember me. Remember the joy that is the joy of sorrow transformed into joy because I am with you. Remember this first-hand experience of the body of Christ. It's not an idea. It's the fundamental reality of the Christian faith, the experience of the presence of Christ, the taking of Christ into our own body. St. Theophylact says that these are things that are meant to be kept hidden in a sacred place, not just generally revealed. They are the most fundamental things. They are the source of the new life within us. When it comes to the myrrh bearers, there is a difficulty in even figuring out who they are. It takes a lot of scriptural devotion and attention to realize that in the end there are 7 myrrh bearers. Not all of them are mentioned in one place in the Gospels. But if you go through the scriptures and you're very careful, you will see that there are 7. Three are mentioned this morning. Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome. Who is Mary the mother of James? What James? There is no disagreement or confusion amongst the fathers. They agree with one voice. There is no doubt. Once you have looked at everything and considered it, Mary the mother of James is none other than Mary the Theotokos, Mary the mother of Christ God. Why is she called Mary the mother of James in this roundabout kind of way? James, the brother of the Lord, no question about that. Son of Joseph, Mary is his mother. I remember in past sermons years ago, I speculated that possibly it could be the fact that, after all, James is the one who is still living, as far as Mary knows. She's the mother of James. Jesus is dead. She has come to the tomb, possibly. But there is another stronger possibility that's often mentioned, and that is the fact that Mary is often referred to in a roundabout kind of way, not directly. There are cryptic ways of referring to her, that there is no doubt, if you understand, as to who is being referred to. But why not more directly? Why not Mother of Jesus? But this name, Jesus, the Christ, second person of God, become incarnate, named Jesus, to refer to him so directly in this particular moment when they come to the tomb, to the revelation of his having arisen from the dead. It's just too matter of fact. It's just taking things at their face value as though their significance is simply in this matter of fact, the Christian story, this is what happened next. The mother of Jesus came to the tomb and he had arisen. There is an effort in Scripture to bring us into touch with the reality, as there was an effort made when we heard of St. Thomas touching the body of the risen Lord. There is an effort to include us as those who understand and are part of the body of Christ. We are part of the body of Christ. It's no simple matter of fact that, well, his body wasn't there. His body, how can we take a reference to the body of Christ so lightly, so directly, as though it were a fact amongst other facts of equal value in the world, that we can simply refer to it? It's the same way with the Theotokos coming to the tomb that is empty, from which her son has arisen from the dead. The icon of the incarnation. There is an indirect reference even in it. People look at it from the outside, and what do they see? They see Mary and Jesus. We look at it, we see the icon of the incarnation of the Son of God. It is an icon of Christ incarnate. And it is a mystery. It's not to be taken for granted. It's something that demands that we remember and recall the reality of our experience of the presence of God when we realize what's being spoken of. That kind of indirectness is part of the tradition. It doesn't come naturally to us in the world in which we live. It doesn't come naturally to a Western Christian faith based on knowledge and reason and understanding of the world. Everything must submit to my understanding. Tell me directly so that I know so that I could explain to someone else clearly, this is exactly what happened. There is a lack of participation in those cases where we have a kind of knowledge in our mind that has been submitted to us, that is under our understanding, under the domination by our minds and our clarity and our reason. That is not the ultimate reality. The ultimate reality is the risen body of Christ. That is the truth about our humanity. It is the truth about our lives. It is beyond our comprehension, beyond our understanding. It is a foundational reality that is new and transforming. And so we don't treat it so lightly. It is something that is meant to be hidden within ourselves as the reality that is at the center of our lives, not on the tip of our lips. St. Theophylact speaks of communion in the same kind of way when he talks about Joseph of Arimathea taking the body of Christ down from the cross, placing it in his own tomb. Theophylact says, we must do this also. We must take Christ down from the cross. The body of Christ is taken down from the cross, placed in a new tomb. The body of Christ is taken down, and Christ is placed in a tomb within us, Theophylact says. We must love the Christ that we have lost, that Thomas wants to touch so much that we go to the cross and with courage ask for the body, take it down, place it in our own bodies, into our own soul. Theophylact says that we must carve out a sanctuary, a place in the rock of our soul, and place the body of Christ there. And he says that that rock is the rock of Christ. Joseph of Arimathea was a member of the Sanhedrin. He was a public man. He worked in the world. But his secret faith was a faith in Christ. And his secret faith in Christ was never compromised. It was solid. It was strong. It was dependable. It had courage. Otherwise, he never would have gone up to the governor, the Roman governor, and asked the body of Christ. Otherwise, he would never have placed the body of Christ into his own new tomb. And in doing so, placed Christ within himself. We may not be Christ bearers in every way possible as we live our lives. We may fall short, but we don't betray our faithfulness to Christ. And if and when we ever do, we confess and repent of that faithlessness. He is the secret faith that keeps us living even as we walk in the world. We don't live from the world. We live from that secret faith at the center of our soul, in that sanctuary within us. The body of Christ is there. We share in the body of Christ along with all of the others who are part of the body of Christ. There is a great mystery here, a mystery as great as the incarnation itself. How could it happen that the Son of God could become incarnate of a woman? But we have an icon that affirms that this is so. How could it be so that we as human beings are one in the body of Christ so that we can live in the world, a life where we have no fear of the presence of death in the world, and yet it is so. Christ said, I call you the rock, and this will be the foundation. This hidden faith, secure in the rock that is our faith in Christ, that links us to all of the rest who are members of the body of Christ. It is a secret thing. The evangelical life of an Orthodox Christian comes out of the fact of the reality of the presence of Christ in that kind of unshakable way. We preach Christ crucified by living lives that are guided and founded on the presence of the body of Christ within us. When we come to the chalice, we take the body of Christ into ourselves. Saint Theophylact says, we enfold the body of Christ into our flesh, and it becomes one with us. When we walk into the world, we are able to live lives that come from the strength of the risen Christ. Because we have humility and reverence in the presence of the body of Christ within us, to be able to forget about ourselves and let God make those events in our lives when we do as we ought to do rather than as our passions encourage us to. Christ God is actively acting through us. And it is for our part to maintain faithfulness as Joseph of Arimathea, not a spiritual athlete, but a person of the world, a person of public life. All we need to do is to remain faithful and steadfast with that rock of Christ and the sanctuary of the body of Christ within us. And God will work through us so long as we are able to be sufficiently reverent and sufficiently humble in the undying presence of the body of Christ within ourselves. The hidden mystery of our oneness with God cannot be overcome by any sorrow, by any suffering, by any pain. All of those things can be transformed into the joy of the fact and the knowledge and the direct experience that they have been overcome. Christ God transforms all sorrow into joy. Death cannot touch us so long as we are faithful to the presence of the body of Christ within us. Remember, any sorrow can be transformed into joy by touching the presence of the body of Christ that is so near. Christ is arisen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.